Hello and welcome to East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan, and today we're focusing on news from the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. Our first story today, Virgin Galactic is starting to build spaceships in Mesa. What to know? Virgin Galactic is set to begin assembling its first Delta spaceships in March at its manufacturing facility in East Mesa, the company announced. These spaceships will be used for commercial flights in 2026. Virgin Galactic's Mesa operation was cited as a driving force in positioning Arizona as a major space hub at a March 20 Arizona State University conference. Experts said Arizona's long history with the aerospace industry, the booming advanced microchip industry, a large, well-trained workforce of engineers, and ample available public land all gave Arizona an edge in the private commercialization of space exploration. CEO Michael Colglazy wrote in a prepared statement, "The company had made tremendous progress with the fabrication of tools and parts." Virgin Galactic, a sister company of Virgin Atlantic, announced in 2022 it was opening an assembly manufacturing facility adjacent to the Mesa Gateway Airport in the southeast area of the city. It completed construction of its new facility in 2024. The company will build and test the spaceships during summer into winter, according to Virgin Galactic earnings presentation. Colglazy said the first spaceship with its new Delta spaceships is planned for summer 2026. This first space flight will carry scientific research, and we expect to begin private astronaut space flights in the fall of 2026, he said. Virgin Galactic has manufacturing and design and engineering plants in California, and its operational headquarters is in New Mexico. From the assembly plant in Mesa, the spaceships will be ferried to New Mexico for flight tests and commercial operation. The Mesa facility includes two hangars equipped with multiple bays designed for maximum flexibility in building and testing space vehicles. The plant could produce up to 6 spaceships per year and bring hundreds of highly skilled aerospace engineering and manufacturing jobs to the area, according to the company's initial announcement. When commercial flights begin, the spaceships will seat up to 6 private passengers, with the reusable spaceships capable of flying up to 8 missions per month. Development surrounding Mesa Gateway Airport has boomed in recent years, with an emphasis on manufacturing and engineering. Most recently, Gulfstream Aerospace Corp. opened its doors to a 225,000-square-foot building that can service up to 13 jets at one time. And that story was Virgin Galactic is starting to build spaceships in Mesa. What to know? The next story, volunteers sought to remove invasive species at Peralta Regional Park. Volunteers are needed for 2 days in March to remove invasive species and reduce wildfire risk at Peralta Regional Park in Gold Canyon. Participants will learn to identify several invasive species and how to remove these invasive plants effectively, a release states. Volunteers are needed 8 to 10 a.m. Monday, March 24 and Wednesday, March 26 at the park, 17975 East Peralta Road. Go to https://www.pinal.gov/calendar.aspx. And that story was volunteers sought to remove invasive species at Peralta Regional Park. The next story, how semiconductor industry helps Arizona's space industry take flight. Arizona has made huge inroads lately in expanding its semiconductor industry. It now produces the most advanced chips in the country. Can the state leverage this momentum to extend a tether to the space industry? No sophisticated electronic devices, including those found on satellites, rockets, capsules, and other space equipment, function without semiconductors, so linking the two industries makes sense. That was a key point of discussion at a March 20 space summit hosted by Arizona State University. Speakers at the conference said Arizona trails several other states, including California, Florida, Texas, Colorado, and Alabama, in various aspects, including space research, rocket manufacturing, launch infrastructure, and the like. But the growth of the semiconductor business here, along with the state's increasingly technology-oriented workforce and wide open spaces, could make Arizona a bigger player in space exploration and related efforts, which are now increasingly driven by private companies rather than government efforts. As a timely example, Virgin Galactic's CEO, Michael Colglazier, said the company, founded by Richard Branson, is beginning to assemble its first spaceship in two hangars at Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport. The initial flight, scheduled for the summer of 2026, will carry scientific research equipment, with private astronaut flights following in the fall of 2026. The company expects the reusable space vehicles, seating up to 6 private passengers, will conduct up to 8 missions per month. "We've seen an incredible pace of innovation, with much of it driven by commercial ventures," said Jessica Russet, executive director of ASU's Interplanetary Initiative, kicking off the space summit, attended by company executives, academics, local government representatives, and others. "It will take all of us to put Arizona on the map as a space hub." Several established aerospace businesses already have operations in Arizona, including RTX Corp., formerly Raytheon, in Tucson, along with Honeywell, Northrop Grumman, and Boeing around Metro Phoenix. All 4 are included in the annual Republic 100 special report on the largest statewide employers. Pacing Arizona's semiconductor achievements has been the expansion of the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company complex in North Phoenix, from a single factory, or fab, and an initial investment of $12 billion to 6 planned fabs and a $165 billion commitment. TSMC recently started commercial production of the smallest, most advanced chips made on U.S. soil. The company's CEO, C.C. Wei, announced the expansion with President Trump at the White House earlier this month. Arizona also is home to other significant chip makers, including ON Semiconductor and Microchip Technology, along with a major Intel campus in Chandler and a growing array of suppliers and related businesses. In addition, ASU landed the Southwest Advanced Prototyping, or SWAP, Hub, one of 8 national chip research centers funded through the CHIPS and Science Act, along with one of 3 planned locations for semiconductor research run by NATCAST, a nonprofit organization established by the Federal Department of Commerce. It is projected to be operational by 2028. The NATCAST Center sends a message that we're not only a semiconductor hub, but also that the semiconductor renaissance is happening here, said Michael Rosas, Vice President of Business Development for the Arizona Commerce Authority. The next big breakthroughs in semiconductors will happen in Arizona. Several factors aid Arizona in the quest for more space-related activity. One is a friendly, supportive business ecosystem, said Shruti Gurundati, an aerospace attorney at Rose Law Group. "We're a very business-friendly environment," she said. Arizona's growing technology-focused workforce gives the state another edge. Talent availability is one of the key reasons Virgin Galactic, which is headquartered in Southern California, opted to build its spaceships in Mesa, said Lisa Morris, a company vice president overseeing its supply chain. ASU alone counts for 32,000 engineering students, and training extends to technicians through community colleges, with TSMC and others leaning heavily on newcomers to fill these positions. Then there's the growing array of suppliers in the state. When people think of space travel, they might visualize rockets first, but the industry relies on a conglomeration of parts, Morris said. She is among the members of the newly revived Arizona Space Commission, which is tasked with putting Arizona at the forefront of space technology while growing the workforce in relevant industries. One of the less appreciated advantages that could help Arizona gain traction in the space industry reflects the prevalence of public land here, with more than 80% of Arizona owned by the state or federal governments. "We need to capitalize on and leverage the open spaces in Arizona, which can be used for launching and testing," said Mick McGuire, Adjutant General of the Arizona National Guard and another member of the Arizona Space Commission. We need to set up launch or recovery facilities in western or southwest Arizona," he said, citing the Army's Yuma Proving Ground as a possibility. Developing a communication strategy and getting the word out also are important. Arizona as a space center, we need to be screaming it from the rooftops, said Morris. Arizona also has a strong presence in general aviation, which is mainly focused on airplanes, jets, helicopters, and related equipment. The state ranked fifth for general aviation employment, with 48,800 jobs and $12.3 billion in economic output as of 2023, according to a PricewaterhouseCoopers study released in February. California placed first in both categories. And that story was How Semiconductor Industry Helps Arizona's Space Industry Take Flight. The next story, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels at Zao Theater through March 29. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, based on the popular 1988 MGM film, will be performed March 7 through 29 at Zao Theater in Gold Canyon. Showtimes are 7:30 p.m. Fridays and 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. Saturdays at Center Stage Church Zao Theater, 6338 South Kings Ranch Road. Tickets are $35 for adults 13 and older, and $20 for children 6 to 12. Under 6 years old are not allowed in the theater, including babes in arms. Unsold seats will be available at the door 30 minutes before showtime. Go to https://app.arts-people.com/index.php?show=233212 for tickets. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels takes you to the French Riviera for hijinks and hilarity. Sophisticated, suave, with a good dash of mischief, this hysterical comedy features a delightfully jazzy score by David Yazbek and was nominated for a staggering 11 Tony Awards, according to a release. Lawrence Jameson makes his lavish living by talking rich ladies out of their money. Freddie Benson more humbly swindles women by waking their compassion with fabricated stories about his grandmother's failing health. After meeting on a train, they attempt to work together, only to find that this small French town isn't big enough for the two of them. They agree on a settlement. The first one to extract $50,000 from a young female target, heiress Christine Colgate, wins, and the other must leave town. A hilarious battle of cons ensues that will keep audiences laughing, humming, and guessing to the end, it states. It is a musical comedy with music and lyrics by David Yazbek and a book by Jeffrey Lane. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels at Zao Theater. Director Michael E. Bryce, music direction David Thomas, choreography Andrew McDuff. That story was Dirty Rotten Scoundrels at Zao Theater through March 29. The next story, This Was My Calling, Head of Arizona National Guard to Leave, Best Hobby I Could Have. Adjutant General Kerry Muhlenbeck, who led the Arizona National Guard for 4 years and through two governors of different political parties, is stepping down to return to her civilian career. Muhlenbeck leaves state government June 7 to continue her work as a professor at Mesa Community College. As Adjutant General of the Guard and head of Arizona's Department of Energy and Emergency and Military Affairs, Muhlenbeck also oversaw the state's emergency response agency and over 8,000 employees and Guard members combined. I am grateful to Major General Muhlenbeck for her service to the people of Arizona, Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs said in a statement. She is a valued member of my cabinet who is dedicated to fostering public safety across the state. The timing of Muhlenbeck's departure is the result of federal law, which requires employers to keep a job open for up to 5 years when an employee leaves for military service. Muhlenbeck said she hits 5 years this summer. Hobbs will pick a replacement who will need to be confirmed by the Arizona Senate. 2 years into Hobbs' first term, the administration is still working to get most of its nominees confirmed by the Republican-controlled Senate. Muhlenbeck began active duty service as an assistant staff judge advocate at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base in Tucson in 1993. She joined the Guard 4 years later. Today, her rank is Major General and she's often known by the acronym for Adjutant General, TAG. I've tried to treat this TAG position like a timeshare, she said in an interview with the Arizona Republic. I feel like it got loaned to me for a little bit. I inhabit it for a little while, and then I pass it on to the next person. That is the nature of service in the National Guard, she said. To have a civilian job but commit one weekend a month and several days a year to train as the nation's war fighters. That training allows the Guard to do other functions like responding to forest fires or evacuating people after natural disasters, she said. I always kid people. I tell them, as a drill status guardsman, I think being in the National Guard is probably the best hobby I could have, Muhlenbeck said. It's actually something I like to do. And it's not like golf where you have to pay lots of money to play. I get paid to do this, so it's just been the perfect hobby. People serve in all different areas. This was my calling. That hobby has come with high-stakes missions. Muhlenbeck took the helm in 2021, while the state was still responding to the COVID-19 pandemic. She shepherded the Guard through multiple activations at the border and during last year's high-profile rescues of more than 100 hikers trapped by floodwater near Havasu Falls. Under her watch, the Arizona Guard formalized a training partnership with the military in the Middle East nation of Oman and marked 30 years of collaboration with the Republic of Kazakhstan through the National Guard's State Partnership Program. The program pairs states with about 100 countries to conduct military-to-military engagements in support of defense security goals. Muhlenbeck was one of the few agency leaders who Hobbs held over from the administration of Governor Doug Ducey, a Republican. She was the first woman to lead the Guard in Arizona, a historical appointment that often drew headlines. While the historical importance of that achievement was not lost on her, Muhlenbeck said it also was something she preferred to downplay. I tend to shy away from that because any time I distinguish myself from other people, I make myself different, she said. I don't want to do that. I want to develop connections with people to show them how similar we are and how we have this common unified purpose to serve the state and nation. I'm not a girl airman or a girl tag. I'm just a tag. Just an airman, just a member of the military. Muhlenbeck said she navigated to Republican and Democratic governors with the same mentality. I think this position is certainly a political position, she said. Anytime you're an appointee by an elected official, it's a political position. I know that. I have just always tried to focus on the fact that it should not be partisan. It helps to have a military mentality of taking orders from the governor after providing advice on possible courses of action, she said. Muhlenbeck said she will most miss the people of the Guard when she returns to her job in education. They are talented in ways that I will never be, and so it's been quite the privilege to just create the best possible environment for them to succeed, she said. Those talents, training Ukrainian pilots on how to operate in a Western environment or how to fly F-16s, assembling people in an infantry formation and combat skills, flying a Black Hawk helicopter to rescue hikers at Supai, she said, were examples. Muhlenbeck is not a pilot, not an infantryman. But I can go there and thank them and maybe knock on a few doors or kick down a few doors to make what they do easier and more supported, she said. That story was This Was My Calling, Head of Arizona National Guard to Leave, Best Hobby I Could Have. You're listening to East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan, and today we're focusing on news from the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. The next story, overnight travel approved for East Valley Institute of Technology employees. One or two East Valley Institute of Technology staff members are to attend a conference in Texas May 11 to 14. The EVIT board voted 6-0 February 24 as part of a consent agenda with other items to approve overnight travel for up to two staff members to attend the Tyler Connect 2025 conference in San Antonio, Texas. Board members William Hobson, Amber McAfee, and Laura Metcalf were absent. The EVIT board must approve any trips that are 75 miles or longer. The Tyler Connect 2025 conference cost is $2,706, according to an EVIT approval for expenditures for professional travel form. That includes a $1,199 registration fee, $345 for airplane travel, $70 for Uber ground travel, $900 for lodging at the Marriott River Center, and $192 for meals, it states. The conference, which has 689 sessions, is intended for Tyler Technologies clients. In addition to keynotes and panels, it includes hands-on learning opportunities through labs and workshops in classroom settings and product demos in the Solutions Hub, it states at https://www.tylertech.com/connect. East Valley Institute of Technology is a public trade school providing 50 career training programs for East Valley High School students and Phoenix area adults at two central campuses in Mesa. East Valley school districts include Apache Junction, Mesa, Queen Creek, Cave Creek, Chandler, Fountain Hills, Gilbert, Higley, J.O. Combs, Scottsdale, and Tempe. Classes are 8 to 10:35 a.m. or noon to 2:35 p.m. Monday through Friday. Classes with 4-hour blocks are 7 to 11 a.m. or noon to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. Classes are also held at satellite campuses, according to https://www.evit.edu. That story was overnight travel approved for East Valley Institute of Technology employees. The next story, Chandler police shoot kill man with knife after they say he ignored commands. The Chandler Police Department said it was working with Mesa Police to investigate a fatal police shooting that occurred near Chandler Boulevard and Hamilton Street on the afternoon of March 20. Police have now identified the man as 27-year-old Messiah Deger Shamel McMillian. The department posted on X, formerly known as Twitter, that all officers were safe and there was no danger to the community. Sonu Wasu, a spokesperson for Chandler Police, said officers responded to the area around 12:15 p.m. in response to multiple calls from people saying their elderly neighbor was in an argument with a 27-year-old relative. Wasu said one witness said McMillian, armed with a knife, had made suicidal statements and also threatened the elderly neighbor. Responding officers found him outside still holding the knife and ordered him to drop it, Wasu said. Wasu said McMillian ignored the officer's commands and instead ran toward an officer while still holding the knife when at least one officer shot him. Officers performed life-saving measures on McMillian before he was taken to a hospital where he was pronounced dead. Mesa Police will handle the criminal investigation into the shooting. That story was Chandler Police shoot kill man with knife after they say he ignored commands. The next story, vendors sought for Building Safety Month Expo in May in Apache Junction. The city of Apache Junction is hosting its second annual Building Safety Month Expo on Saturday, May 3, in celebration of Building Safety Month, a nationwide initiative by the International Code Council. Vendors, sponsors, and event partners are being sought for the event to be held at the Apache Junction Rodeo Grounds, 1590 East Lost Dutchman Boulevard. For information or to get involved, call Leslie Castillo at 480-474-5097. Showcase your business, connect with the community, and inspire the next generation of builders and tradespeople, Early states. Last year's event welcomed more than 300 attendees and featured local contractors, a career fair, touch a truck, food trucks, games, prizes, and more. This year we're making it even bigger with a high school construction tech competition, live equipment demonstrations, and a kids' digger zone, the release states. Go to https://www.apachejunctionaz.gov/civicalerts.aspx?aid=2453. That story was vendors sought for Building Safety Month Expo in May in Apache Junction. The next story, task force created for Emily Pike case Family hopes $75,000 reward will lead to information. In February 2025, Gila County Sheriff's Office found the dismembered body of San Carlos Apache teen Emily Pike. Now, a multi-agency task force hopes to catch her killer. Emily, 14, was last seen in Mesa near her group home at Mesa Drive and McKellops Road in late January. Officials and family said that her body was found dismembered in a forested area near Globe, almost 100 miles away from where she was last seen. As of Monday, the cause and manner of death were still pending, according to the Pinal County Medical Examiner's Office, which investigates deaths in Gila County. It is unknown why Emily left the group home and how she ended up in Globe. "There's two things that we know, where she was last seen and where they found the body," said Allred Pike Jr., Emily's uncle. He said the lack of answers from authorities was frustrating but urged patience, noting that it takes a long time to fill in the blanks. No suspects or persons of interest had been identified in her case as of Tuesday afternoon, according to the Gila County Sheriff's Office, which is the lead agency in the case. The Sheriff's Office said they have surveillance video that could be helpful, but did not provide details about what the video contained and when and where it was taken. The Sheriff's Office announced that multiple agencies joined to form a task force for Emily's case on Monday. The unnamed task force will include the Sheriff's Office, the San Carlos Apache Police Department, the Mesa Police Department, the FBI, and the Bureau of Indian Affairs. The agencies were working together before the task force was announced. The creation of the task force came shortly after the San Carlos Apache tribe announced a $75,000 reward for information leading to an arrest in Emily's case. "If we let this movement die down, it means the investigators and whatnot, they might not push forward or as hard in investigating trying to get the killer or killers," said Pike, hopeful that the reward will urge someone to come forward with information. The Gila County Sheriff's Office and the San Carlos Apache Police Department also created an online tip portal for information regarding the case. Those with information regarding Emily's case are encouraged to provide an anonymous tip at tips411. People can also contact the Sheriff's Department at 928-425-4449, option 1, and the San Carlos Apache Police Department at 928-475-1700. The Sheriff's Office confirmed a body was found near the same place off US 60 in September 2021. The man from White River was shot in his vehicle, the agency said. Detectives listed this homicide as a cold case. The Sheriff's Office did not believe the cases were related. That story was Task Force Created for Emily Pike Case. Family hopes $75,000 reward will lead to information. This has been East Valley News covering Mesa and Apache Junction. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. Remember, if you missed a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. You can take SunSounds of Arizona with you on our app for Apple and Android phones, and you can hear it SunSounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. Now stay tuned for more excellent content on SunSounds of Arizona.